Someone said, how long is 1 minute? It depends on which side of the door you are standing in front of that bathroom. It can be a very long time if you are in a hurry and the bathroom door is closed. We have 1,440 minutes a day. And we have 10,080 minutes per week. And we have 43,200 minutes a month average. And 525,600 minutes per year. It sounds like a lot of time we still have. However, it depends on, again, depends on whom you ask. If you ask young people, especially children, they cannot wait to grow up. But if you ask old people, especially, you know, after 50 years mark, over the hill, down the hill, old geezers, you know, like me, then if you ask me, and I cannot believe it, another week just passed by. It seems like a couple days ago that I walked out of here as the last person and walking in down to the parking lot, getting into my truck. Now here again. While some people make the most of their life, the other people just waste away their life in destructive path. I'm sure you can think of a few people who are in that kind of mode. You can almost get anything, everything back if you try. But there are many things that you cannot get them back. I say time is on the top of the list. You can never get the time back. King Hezekiah of Judah was dying of a terminal illness. And he prayed to God, God grant him 15 more years. So he used that time, additional time, wisely and gave a glory to God, huh? It would be nice, but the answer is opposite. He, unfortunately, wasted away his time. I do believe that we have a tremendous principle we can learn from the life of King Hezekiah, especially his 15 years. He was once great king, but his heart was lifted up. That's a deadly thing. We'll talk more about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are living in the age of good, consider evil, evil, good. We know that without you, we would be part of this dark and wicked world. This morning, as we open our heart to receive your word, let it be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path, that we shine your name to others. We also pray for the President Obama's salvation, that he may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he does what, so that he can do what is right in your sight. And we also pray for the troops, our troops around the world, that for their safety, and also lifting up our law enforcement personnel, the Border Patrol agent, and police officers and sheriff deputies, and all this law enforcement personnel and the firefighters, especially lifting up our elder Merrill Simon and his crew fighting against the wildfire around this area as well as around Arizona. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 20 in 2 Kings, please. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face toward the wall, that is Hezekiah, prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was right, what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. It happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus says the Lord, God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to you your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah took the lump of fig, so they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, What is the sign of that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Then Isaiah said, This is the sign to you from the Lord, and that the Lord will do the things which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is an easy thing for a shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. King Hezekiah died in 687 B.C., So if you backtrack from 687 B.C. back to 15 years, you'll come to the 702 B.C. You remember, it's a backward, right? That's the time when he was sick, that's the time when he got healed, and that's the time when the envoys from the Babylon visited him. The year after, 701 B.C., Assyria invaded Jerusalem and Israel. And of course, Judah, that is. And that's which we learned in chapter 18 and 19 last week. King Hezekiah's prayer was almost sound arrogant and ungodly in our opinion. Why? Because we are used with coming to God with humility. We are not bring to God, we don't bring to God our accomplishment or our what we can do for him. But it sounds ungodly, though. In Old Testament standard, this is perfectly godly, because during the Old Testament time was not time of grace, but time of the law. If you're obedient to the law, you're doing good. You understand me? So he was praying in the right way. He was simply coming to God to tell him that, I follow you with a loyal heart. In the New Testament, we come to him not without accomplishment, but rather humility in Jesus Christ, asking God to forgive our sins. Now, Hezekiah, even though he was a good king, he did not have assurance like we do have in Jesus Christ, as a believer of Jesus Christ. One of the most frequent questions from the skeptics and unbelievers to Christianity is, how can you accept and believe that God allows sickness to his followers? Should you not have the best health and the comfortable living if God is that good? I'm sure you heard that kind of question before. In addition to this mind-boggling question, God heals some people and God chooses not to heal others. Some of our congregation come to me, ask me to pray for their physical illness. So I pray for them. Guess what? God heals them. And so I pray for my own illness, intestine problem, and my tendonitis in both arms, and God doesn't heal me. And I ask God, what am I, stepchild? God heals the other people, but God doesn't heal pastor's arm. Then, come on, give me a break. And he said, I can give you a break. I said, never mind. Folks, with our finite and puny brains, we cannot understand God's infinite wisdom. And we cannot, can we fathom the depth of his will. But we know that God will use our infirmity for his glory and heal us eventually, because there's no one who is sick in heaven. There is no one who is handicapped. There is no one who is maimed. There is no one who is mute in heaven. If you have an illness, if you know someone you love have an illness, please listen carefully. Some people who are sick, not all of them, have a tendency to think that the other people should stop everything and their lives should revolve around the sick people. I know it sounds callous and sounds cold, but hear me well. Let me give you a few examples from our own congregation. Let's start with Diane Merton over there. She's been multiple sclerosis for over 20 years. If there's anyone who have an excuse to feel sorry for themselves, would be Diane. But instead of being feel sorry for herself, she, as a matter of fact, she's a trooper for God. She handles all of our e-prayer chain ministry. If you send an email to prayer@ccos.org, it will go to her, and she will distribute a prayer request or praise report. She will distribute to the people who are on the prayer chain in a timely manner. Diane does not expect other people to feel sorry for her, but she is a prayer warrior whom I can depend on, and also she is a co-laborer for the kingdom of God. We have a couple more examples. Even though they have a physical limitation, again, they are the co-laborer for the kingdom of God. Our elder Jerry Hamby, whom I constantly depend on for many things. I glean insight and wisdom from him. And CJ, who just led worship. See, these people, their focus is not on themselves. By taking their eyes off their illness and physical limitation, they get to see other people's need from the viewpoint of God, which is privilege. They have an illness or a handicap. If you have an illness or a handicap, you can be overcomer or you can be overcome by that situation. Especially with your emotion, that will just drag you down further. It's your choice. It is really, really your choice. God can, often does, bring the healing through medical treatment as well. Now, apart from his miraculous healing, medical treatment should not be ignored because for the sake of faith. I do believe in faith healing, but I do not believe in faith healers on the TV, on Christian TVs. Let's keep your finger there in James chapter 5, please. James chapter 5. Some of you are wondering, if those three people paid me to say, talk nice about them, no, they did not pay me. 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call. Are you there yet? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Anointing with oil. And that can be also, remember, oil in the ancient time is used as a medicinal treatment. Different thing. Some theologians have a hard time trying to explain away the God's miracle. Folks, I said this before. If you can explain God's miracle, that's not a miracle, right? That's obvious things that just happen. God's miracle cannot be explained. God's miracle is supernatural or beyond our own capability. They think this brilliant and intelligent theologian think that how can God change the shadow backward 10 degrees? Well, let me say this to you. God created the entire universe, correct? Do you think I can change my own watch time because it's mine? Do Do you think God can change it? Whatever he can do, change it? Yeah. If God wants to, he can make Jerry Hamby's shadow do the breakdancing without Jerry Hamby. That would be him. He will perform the breakdancing after the service. Go to the 2 Chronicles chapter 32, please. Don't ever underestimate the Jerry Hamby. Chapter 32, verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. This is kind of duplicate of what happened in the 2 Kings. It's from the different point of view. And he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him, gave him a sign. But here, verse 25 is important. Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was what? Lifted up. In other words, he became prideful. Therefore, the wrath was looming over him and over the Judah and Jerusalem. What a sad statement. King Hezekiah was spared and his life was extended, yet he was not grateful to the Lord. Folks, pride is one of the Satan's main arsenals in his battle against the Lord's people. It's one of the main arsenals. Satan himself committed the sin of pride, and that's why he got kicked out of from heaven. Once he was a Lucifer, and he was one of the archangels. And he was looking for the worship and obedience that God alone deserved. And pride make us rob. Pride make us rob the glory of God and belongs to him alone. If you must boast, we should boast about our God. Amen? Go back to chapter 20 in 2 Kings verse 12, please. Chapter 20. At that time, Berodach, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, silver and gold and spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. The Isaiah the prophet went to the king Hezekiah and said to him, "What did this man say, and from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came from the far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house, what your fathers has accumulated until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, thus says the Lord. And they shall take away the sum of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Envoy from the Babylon, which is upcoming superstar nation, came to see how Hezekiah is doing. Remember this, the Babylon, this upcoming superpower, was by size, by military power, they're much, much bigger than little kingdom, Judah. And Hezekiah felt, I'm sure he felt important because this big country came to see him, to see how he's doing. And even talked about being an ally against Assyria. So he, in his prideful mind, "I want to show him how really important I am, how strong I am." So he showed all of his arsenal as well as his treasures. As a rebuke of the prophet Isaiah, demonstrated here is nothing more than proud foolishness of Hezekiah's part. He was dangerous place and wanting to please and impress ungodly people. This tactic is not unusual for Satan. Let me say one more time. This tactic is not unusual for Satan. You might be approached by the ungodly people, or you might be approached by the worldly people saying that, hey, you are so good, you are so spiritual. Everybody notices it. Even God is impressed with you. Guess what? We start to think, oh, really? Oh, I'm that good, huh? Oh, yeah, I'm noticing. When I looked at this morning, there was a halo behind my head. Yeah, that's the halo coming down, choking your neck. We tend to buy that kind of story. Scripture pictured our adversary, the devil, as a cunning serpent and the roaring lion. He does not offer a nice comment to us because he really was impressed with us, but he trap us, to ensnare us, to defeat us. In response to devil's silver-tongued temptation, we often ignorantly expose the weakness of our part to his crosshair. We should not. Go to Proverbs 27:6. We memorized this verse before. Proverbs 27:6. Don't just sit there and say, well, I'm not going to turn my Bible. Well, guess what? It will really help you. So turn your Bible. I promise it won't kill you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of enemies are deceitful. Isn't that descriptive? Put it in your heart. Put it in your heart. A century after Hezekiah's death, Babylon invaded this little kingdom, Judah. And they took away all the treasures. They knew exactly where to go. And they knew exactly what kind of arsenal that Israel had. And they took the descendant of Hezekiah, like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. Remember from the book of Daniel? And they made him to be eunuchs. When the world comes to you and wants you to be their friend and ally, like a Babylon to the Hezekiah, this is the opposite of what the Nike commercial would say. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. And let's go to James 4:4. Again, this was a memory verse, right? You guys all remember, right? All right. James 4:4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself of what? An enemy of God. You don't need to be a friend of the world. You don't need to be the friend of ungodly. One more verse. I did not mention it in the outline here. Go to Psalm 1:1, please. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. Did you notice the progression here? Walking, standing, and sitting. If we are not careful, we start to get closer and closer, closer to enemies. Just like Peter, he was following Jesus from the distance when Jesus was arrested. He was standing out of court of the chief of Sanhedrin, high priest. And pretty soon he was warming himself with the same fire that who arrested Jesus Christ, his Savior. He walked and stood and he said, you don't need to be the friend of ungodly. Because when you make an enemy, when you make a friendship with the world, you will be the enemy of God. Go back to the verse 19, please. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be a peace and a truth at least in my days? And the rest of the act of Hezekiah, all his might and how he made a pool and a tunnel, brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Kings of Judah? Verse 21, so Hezekiah rested with his father, then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. In my opinion, this is the sad state of mind for the king of Judah. When God announced the upcoming judgment against his kingdom, instead of repenting, he said, well, since it's not going to happen in my days, it's going to happen to my kids, that's cool. It's almost like a we spent a stimulus package of trillions, billions of dollars, and well, it's not going to happen to us because it's going to happen to our grandkids. That's a sad state of mind. One thing they forget is those grandkids and your children are the ones who put you in the nursing home. Additional life, listen please, additional life and good health does not necessarily make us any better. Consider that the life, consider the time does nothing but pass away. We sometimes say, well, time will tell, or time will heal, or time will bring out the potential in me. As I said, time will do nothing of sort. Time only come and go, but it's only how we use the time that matters. Hezekiah didn't do a good use of didn't make a good use of the extra time the Lord gave to him. By the way, I just want to make sure you guys understand, if I have a heart attack right now and drop dead, don't ever try to resuscitate me back, okay? Because I want to go see Jesus real soon. If you bring me back to life, I'm going to hound you around, so you're going to wish that I'm dead. Folks, in my opinion, Hezekiah wasted away 15 years. He wasted away 15 years. He could use that time to bring glory to God, yet his heart was lifted up. And he wanted to show off what he could do. He should have turned to God with humility and a grateful heart to serve him evermore. We hope and pray that we make the most of the time we are allowed to have, whether it's long life or short life. It does not matter whether you have a sickness or health. Whatever you have, you live for God. We are not here for the glory of ourselves, but to glorify the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. We are almost done, so stay with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty word, for because these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partaker with them, for you are once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as a children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. Underline next verse, please. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Can you agree that we are living in a day of evil? Yes. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Folks, man has a beginning, but not an ending. Either he will live forever in heaven or hell. Eternity is not an extended time. Rather, it is its existence above and apart from time. Time has nothing to do with the eternal life. We are no longer limited by the time. Where we spend eternity completely is completely depend. Where we spend eternity is completely depends on our decision to follow Jesus or not. We'll make one application. We need to redeem our time in these evil days by solely depending on the Lord to maximize it for His glory. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We're asking you to stretch your hands to these people. We are asking you to intervene for them. We are asking you to grant their wish that they may be healed by you. We also lift up our congregation. We are asking you to go with them throughout the week so that they may represent your light in this dark world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.